crossfade. The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It is the Daily Talk Show from Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're right. We've taken the flight 5 hours. Wow, what a different place this is.
We've already had In-N-Out.
Mate, In-N-Out is unbelievable. The thing is, so we've talked about on the show about those people that go mad and they leave work and go to the pop-up store in Melbourne.
Have they had one in Melbourne?
Yeah, they had it in Windsor. Yeah, they had a pop-up In-N-Out store in Windsor in Melbourne and up in Sydney, and people fucking lost their marbles. Marbles. And I know why now.
Yeah, they are significantly better than Shake Shack.
Yeah, so so last time I was here, 2012, in both New York and LA, and I have to say I was probably more impressed by the Shake Shack in New York, and I went there first, so I went straight into New York. But this time we flew straight to New York and we had it and it was horrible.
Well, I thought Shake Shack was okay. You're recovering from your voice is going in and out.
Yeah, this has been a bit of a nightmare with this thing coming up.
It's a bit of a clusterfuck. Eddie, the last episode with Eddie, I was doing a little bit of the heavy lifting when it comes to voice. But that was fine. No, but I think Shake Shack is good for the thick shakes. Burger-wise, I think In-N-Out absolutely slams Shake Shack.
Yeah, it's more of an actual burger. I don't know. We're pretty lucky in Melbourne, in Australia. There's so many good burger places now.
Do you think there's so much of us talking about how good Australia is on this trip already?
I don't know, but it is... I love America. I feel like I'm at Willy Wonka's Wonderland. Mm. It is everything. There is so much. It's like they call it the land.
It was the land of opportunity.
Yeah, they call it that, and it has that. Mm. It's also got the other end of it.
Yeah,
and so I feel like going to New York first can be tough. Because coming back here, it feels slow.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a car in New York because you'd be fucking crazy. Could you imagine trying to have a car in New York?
Do you reckon any tourists have got there and gone, oh, we should get a car. We're staying in Manhattan. That'd be great. It's pretty far away.
I wonder if anyone... Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you've ever rented a car and been in New York City for the main part of it. That would be crazy.
I like being able to say I've done something because I like having the memory of something.
Yeah.
I think driving...
In different countries.
Yeah, I would like to drive in New York City to get the vibe.
Driving in Italy was crazy enough for me. But so we went to Alamo where we're picking up the rental car after arriving to LAX and put in the details, went through the self-checkout kiosk thing. We had a booking through rentalcars.com.
That's new since I was in America. 2012, there was no automated check-ins.
So that was nice. But then... little bit of a clusterfuck.
Little bit.
I was the main driver on the booking, and it turns out that my license, my Victorian driver's license, expired today, the day that we were fucking picking up the car.
What are the chances? Because you hadn't looked at it.
No.
But we only knew because as soon as you... So it said key in your name and your driver's license number... Yeah.
And then it automatically said the expiry date was today.
It just went red. Yeah. I was like, just skip this bit.
So anyway, we spent an hour and a half at Alamo trying to sort it out, speaking to rentalcars.com. Turns out, during all of this, Bree tells me, owned by booking.com, the company that I had thought that I was banning had somehow infiltrated, and it was very upsetting because...
Right.
Yeah. You were there.
You have not learned anything from Dick Smith.
No.
Go straight to the source.
Yeah.
You could have gone straight to Alamo.
Well, we tried to. We basically, rental cars was like, look, rentalcars.com was saying you can't change the main driver.
Yeah.
And so we had to cancel that booking, lost like 3 days of... rental.
I think it's almost like inside of me I go, it's fair game. Mm. You pay like $20 a day for a car. Yeah. It's like so cheap. Yeah. Hard to get those prices in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And you only get that because you're going through some online website.
Yeah.
And then
it's a pain in the ass. But anyway, so we're going to UberX around, see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, it is a different game over here. Mm. There is Uber car, like in New York, there's Uber cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, and they need a license.
Yeah.
We're speaking to that guy in New York, and he was like, you need a license.
Right.
When I arrived, the guy was telling me it cost him $2,000 to actually get the license to drive on Manhattan. I don't think it's the same here.
Yeah,
I think it's a free for all.
What are your memories of Los Angeles last time you were here?
Oh, just blue sky, palm trees.
Mm-hmm. Have you been? So we're at the Grove right now. We're sitting next to a place that's called, what is it, Bob's Donuts,
yeah,
or something like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Bob's Donuts.
Bob's Donuts. So did you spend time at the Grove last time you were here?
What I find funny is, like, you know, time between trips to a place, mm, and your perspective changes on something.
Yeah.
And so for me, the memories of this place were fond and, oh, it was so good. There was so much happening. Like, it's like this market that's like bustling.
Yeah.
And there's lots of food places.
We've already driven past the place that you stayed at.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another whole bank of memories that were great. But I'm not that person from 2012. And this place isn't what it was in 2012. I've got snobby, or it's just become really touristy.
Because really? Yeah, sure.
It feels...
Are you talking about the Grove specifically,
yeah,
or Los Angeles?
No, I think the Grove.
The Grove, yeah.
But I like it. It's,
yeah,
it's cool. I think it was more novel in 2012, because I don't think we had anything like this in Melbourne.
Yeah.
To this degree, where it's like shopping centre plus a market.
Mm. So what were you doing day to day when you were in Los Angeles last time?
Just thinking I was cool.
Were you catching up with people?
No, I went on that Hollywood immersive thing that I won a trip.
Right.
Oh no, the first time I came, we were just going out for dinner. You know what I've been thinking about a lot on this trip, because I am thinking about how much money I'm spending?
Yeah.
I was trying to channel my thoughts around money and what I was thinking then.
Mm.
I had a credit card. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't max it out, but I didn't care about what I was spending.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between using credit card versus using your cold hard cash.
Yeah.
I've definitely noticed that, even with Europe, with us actually putting that money aside, and how you just see things different. Like, you're looking at conversions more.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different ball game.
And what's the learning when it's your own money?
Oh, I think that it's... Budgeting is good, because what budgeting does is it gives you the flexibility to be able to day to day not have to worry about it at all.
Yeah.
And be able to weekly, especially when you're going for a long period of time, like Brie and I were away for 3.5 months, we could just look on a grander scale of every week and say, how are we going? And so we had times where it's like, we spent $280 on dinner for the two of us. But it's that thing of, like, you know, you have that, but there's also, you also have enough buffer and padding that you're going to be able to, you'll spend way less somewhere else, or you'll decide, rather than catching a train or whatever it is, you'll do a bus.
Yeah. I was definitely careless when I came over here last.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't have a kid and a wife. I was single and didn't give a shit.
It does make a difference. Do you think the Australian culture within the US, it's like its own breed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, even when we're in New York, the Australian cafes, seeing the Australian baristas.
Yeah.
I think it could be, like, we spoke with Reese Mitchell.
Yeah.
I think there could be a tendency to fall into that world.
What, to fall into, like...
To the being an Australian, being in LA, and just doing that. Like, if I move to LA, I feel like there could be that could be enticing.
Surrounding yourselves with other Australians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although what I've noticed, like, I haven't noticed as... Maybe I haven't been looking for it. I haven't noticed as many Aussie accents. I mean, we've been talking to people.
Mm.
I definitely have... Like, I noticed one family based on the credit card they were using.
Oh,
which
really?
Is one I've got, which is an Australian credit card.
Yeah.
And then I was like, they're Australian. And then they started speaking. Yeah. But I haven't noticed. I mean, there are so many people here.
Yeah.
Like, you said we talk about Australia being great too much. It's like, it is so different.
Mm.
It is so different. Yeah.
And the different types of cultures and people and tomorrow we have Greg and Amira who they have a podcast called Maybe It's You, and they wrote the book He's Just Not That Into You. And which turned into the movie. But you think about that. You think about people who are writing books that are turning into massive Hollywood household names.
Yeah, that was giant. So many super A-list celebrities in that film.
Yeah. And so I think that there is that culture too, which is like thinking big. We've got Joshua Fields Milburn from The Minimalists coming on the podcast, who is that's at the other spectrum, which is like Netflix documentary blowing up in a completely different way.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely excited to explore that in LA, which is the different, everyone seems to be making it or trying to make it.
Yeah.
But they're doing it all in completely different, not fields, but mechanisms.
I think there's more fields now. It's all about it's when you start podcasting, you notice more podcasts.
Yeah.
Or is it that podcast is actually becoming popular?
Bit of both.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think about what I was actively looking for or thinking of at the time when I was here last, and it feels different. It feels like it's a bit more fair play for more people now.
Yeah.
Which changes the game.
You think it's more accessible?
Yeah, I think it's more accessible because chance of...
Are you okay? Jesus Christ. Are you okay?
I gauged that
my
that
headphones
would sound different to through the audio.
Yeah.
To my earballs.
What was that? Was that a burp?
It was like...
This is you
coming
back.
It was like
back.
The little dicky in well, the throat. You know, your throat, you got that little
penis in your...
Yeah, well, it's like closed up. My voice is not amazing, guys.
It's good that you can talk at all.
But yeah, definitely, like, coming over here to be a A-list celebrity actor isn't the only thing that you can come here to do.
Yeah.
One of the biggest celebrities here is like Logan Paul.
I wonder how many people know. I wonder how many people actually know Logan Paul in Los Angeles.
Shitloads.
You reckon?
Man, yeah. I've seen huge celebrities talk about him. So he's known by the big upper echelon of celeb status people.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan talks about him. So there's he's crossed through for many various reasons, good and bad.
Yeah.
But he is a dude who bought a $7 million mansion in the hills. And he's 21 and he's a YouTuber.
So what was it? You've spoken about it a little bit, but the immersive course that you did.
Yeah.
What did it actually entail?
Well, it was it's still running. So you can come over here and it's, I guess, gives people a taste of what it's like trying to make it in LA. And it was...
All Australians?
No, there was people from... There's a guy. I shared a room with a guy named Mark Percy, lovely dude who was from London.
Okay.
I was doing the hosting immersive. There's an acting immersive and a dancing immersive, which is just a program where you're delving into becoming an actor and doing classes with different people. And so we did this for Hollywood immersive.
And you won it.
I won the trip.
How?
I made a video. And I told a story and I used footage from the trip that I did, the Suck on That Jules Lund thing.
Oh, so this happened after that?
Yeah, literally a couple of months after.
Oh, wow.
I won the trip and I was back in LA.
That's
like
amazing.
3 months later, I was back in LA, which is crazy.
How long did it go for?
I only went for 2 weeks. And so you lived in this house in the Hollywood Hills. And it was just like they hired. So there's all these houses in the Hollywood Hills that you can just hire.
Mm, like not, Airbnb.
But yeah, pretty much. Or through agencies and stuff.
Yeah.
And this one we had a sauna in one of the bedrooms and a pool that was epic. And so it was like a view out over the Hollywood Hills. And so you felt like, I don't know, I guess it's a bit of theatre as well of we're in the hills. We're going down to Whole Foods to get food. There might be a celebrity.
It almost seems like the equivalent of the Japanese tourists who go to Europe getting photos for their wedding.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. So
what?
A lot of Asian countries, like the bride and groom will go to different parts, and they'll there's actually whole businesses that supply the photographer, even the outfits.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they'll have their wedding.
Photoshop these days.
So they'll have their wedding, and then they go, like, part of the post-wedding thing is like, let's go to Paris and get all beautiful, or, you know, Venice and get beautiful photos.
Well, is it like, is that a part of, is that the honeymoon, or is that?
It seems more like a photo shoot than a honeymoon, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the people I was in the house with, so you end up being there, you wake up, there's a private chef that cooks for the house.
That's nice. What sort of meals?
Some pancakes, like some healthy stuff, eggs, like a buffet in the morning, fruit salad.
And you were you mixed with all the dancers and stuff as well?
No. So they keep it individual.
How many people in the group?
There was 12 of us in the house, maybe more.
Because when I think about presenting, I don't think about Hollywood. Did they talk about the fact, because like obviously you've got big movie stars.
Well, Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, yeah. Ryan Seacrest here. So Bree is just bringing some donuts right now from
That's heavy.
From Bob's. Oh, sorry. I stopped recording. Oh, that's okay. Bree just said she stopped recording. Bree has just brought donuts from Bob's. Do they smell good? Are they warm?
Oh, is that one? I love it here. It's just
this is like Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
Oh, so cinnamon.
It wouldn't be an episode if we didn't have donuts because we're at Bob's. No, but you're right. Like presenting, even in 2012. I don't know. I think 2012, I think presenting is dying in that space where you think Josh's mouth is watering.
Yeah, it's.
I think being a TV presenter is dying because there's people that just pick up cameras and be YouTube stars. Same thing.
But were they specifically targeting the the TV presenter, or were they teaching you YouTube as well?
No, not they weren't. They're definitely not teaching us YouTube. But there was some good things that came out of it. But it was a funny thing. It was the first time I made a conscious decision to do this. And I had a bit of confidence because I had won the trip already.
Yeah.
I went to when I got here, I was like, I am going to put my hand up. Josh is trying to get photos from Bree while I'm fucking talking.
It's really hard, isn't it?
I have no idea who I'm. Where's Josh gone?
I was literally just trying to get a photo of me with the donut. We'll put it on the Daily Talk Show Instagram. I'm glad we got that.
Okay, good.
You can.
So I did this thing where I... still happening. Bree's still here. Sit down,
Bree. She's getting it on the mobile now. I was worried that she was just getting video. All right, I'll act like you're not here. Okay. Go on.
So I tried this, and it's an interesting thing. Maybe you should try it in whatever you do, whatever job you're in, if you're going to some conference. And I think Seth talks about it a bit too. It's like when you're somewhere and you have the opportunity, put your hand up. Mm. And
where did you put your hand up? Do you think in that
any
context?
Moment that there was something that required a response from the group, and I just put my hand up. It was weird. I was like, and it definitely made me stand out, like in this group. But it was conscious.
Yeah, I
was peacocking.
Yeah.
Well, because I already had the confidence of winning this thing.
Were there anyone more confident than you, do you think, at the, like, just, were there big egos at this sort of event?
Saying I had the big ego?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I was coming from, of course I have an ego, but I don't think it was that bravado.
Was there anyone with more bravado than that?
No, I don't think so. And so, but it worked in my favour because people thought I remember people like complimenting on my skill.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have skill really.
Did you meet Tommy D at this event?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tommy D is our mate. He's doing a lot in the health and fitness. Tom Primal on Instagram. We've spoken about him because I mentioned that I was following his model account for a bit there, which I think he's discontinued, annoyingly.
Well, yeah, I did meet Tom there. So we had mutual friends, but he was the personal trainer that would train us every morning. And so
that was his gig for the thing to train us.
Well, they would fly him out from Australia because an Australian woman, Lily Dawson, created Hollywood Immersive.
Oh, that's cool.
Still going.
Yeah.
And they flew Tommy out and he was going and I knew he was the trainer on it and I messaged him because we had mutual friends, and I said, let's catch up before we go. And so we ended up booking our flights in similar times and getting there 3-4 days early.
That's cute.
Getting over here.
So you just made a friend.
It was bizarre. And now he's one of my best mates.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, just like putting your hand up, there's definitely the thing in sending the email. Like if we think about the theme of this podcast and what we've been able to do, even just in our time in New York,
yeah,
it's like sending the email to Seth, reaching out to Brad, you know, getting Eddie on, like all of those things wouldn't have happened if we didn't, you know, be a little bit vulnerable, put ourselves out there.
Yeah, putting your hand up is saying, hey, I want a part of this, or hey, I've got something to add to this. And even if you, I think, like I shit myself when I put my hand up at a conference and I'm about to ask my question. My heart fucking beats like no tomorrow.
Were you there when I asked a question when I was behind a camera? I don't know if you were at that event. I was filming at an event. Maybe it was Till was with me. But literally, like, there was a Q&A time. I was literally just hired as a camera guy. And it's a management. It's like a corporate management event.
Oh, I've got a story for you.
And I put up my hand and just asked the question. And I got a round of applause.
That's amazing.
But I had a lot of anxiety about it.
I don't try to one-up you.
No, I love a one-up.
But I was filming the guy who owns Messina, the amazing
ice cream
place. This was years ago up in Sydney. And I'm literally a meter away from him where I am, and there was a crowd, sort of like this circle behind me, and so I was like ducking down, and it was Q&A time, and everyone was a few people put up their hand, and I got straight in there even though I was behind the camera. I said to him, when are you going to get ATM facilities? Oh, when are you going to get card facilities?
What did he say?
Everyone laughed so hard. And at that time, they've got it now. But at that time, there was like, it was the biggest thing. It's like, you need cash for this fucking ice cream restaurant that has a line out the door.
But then they set it up so you had to use their fucking app.
Yes.
And then connect with PayPal or some shit. I was just
And he laughed. Yeah. And he's like, no. He was like, honest to God, we literally just haven't got around to doing it. Their business grew so quickly. And he's like, we actually just haven't got around to, which is a bit
it
of
just
a
doesn't make sense. Does that make any sense?
It sounds like what the local fish and chip shop guy would still be saying.
Yeah,
right. We haven't got around to it.
Yeah, but the that's what I mean. We've spoken about it before, but one of the things about the US is the cards and the cat. Like, you go to some places cash only, then it's card only. Only use chip. I don't know how many times I've tried to use PayPass and it's just fucked up.
They don't want you to do it.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. I don't really understand.
Different perspectives.
Yeah.
From traveling.
What's been, so, you know, first half being in New York, what have you taken away from our time in New York City?
There's an energy about New York that fuels you and can defeat you.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the time difference and the jet lag and changing that up.
Yeah,
but I definitely felt the energy, and LA brings a different energy, and you can feel it already.
Yeah, what is that? And what's the shift, do you think?
Oh, it's just not as go go go
in LA.
In LA, in comparison to New York.
Yeah,
in comparison to Melbourne, LA is fast.
Yeah,
there's so many people.
I feel like there's gonna be a lot of drive, even though we don't have a rental car.
Yeah,
I feel like there will be a little bit of driving.
We got to around here. I remember we had a car last time we were here.
Yeah.
Because we all had licenses that had expiry dates that weren't on the day that we were getting the car. Okay.
And so Europe versus the US, Bree and I are always talking about where we should go to travel. I've been to the US probably 6 or 7 times. Are you, when it comes to relaxation, are you in the Europe camp or the US camp?
I think you said it pretty well, of like when you in a foreign country, it's just a different feeling because of that barrier.
Yeah.
The foreign country, even Greece, having to think this extra.
So the language level, barrier.
The language barrier and just the cultural difference. Like, there's cultural differences here, but they're closer to what we experience at home, so it feels easier just without the difference, the different language.
Yeah.
And so Europe is Europe's tiring.
Yeah.
It's really tiring. I don't know how you guys did it for three months.
Three and a bit months. Yeah, definitely. I think that it's a maybe a cultural shock. What do you think, Breezer?
I'm just listening and nodding. Don't ask me for my opinion.
Okay, there we go. That's
gosh, she had a lot to say with nothing to say.
Yeah, it's very true. No, well, we got such good feedback when Bree was on. I thought we could use her as some form of clickbait.
The question, sorry, because I was half listening. I was half looking at Instagram, half pretending to nod. What was it?
I was just at Europe versus the US when it comes to a holiday destination.
Oh, it depends on where you go in Europe. It's completely different everywhere. Like, for example, Italy was chaotic, but places like London I found actually quite easy to get around. Places like Croatia, anywhere like that where you sort of need a car and where you sort of... I mean, they all speak English there, so it was kind of easy. I don't know. Much of a much as I find the US easy because you come here, they speak your language... You always love driving, like by you, I mean Josh, loves driving a car here. And we've been here so many times. Loved. So it feels like a second home. Loved.
Loved.
And until that all came undone. Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, taking the things that we're learning from New York and applying it to when we come back to Australia. Mm. I think that that's going to be the biggest key. Taking the enthusiasm for life and the hard bit, there is a hard element to travel, which doesn't happen when you're at home. But so there's actually, you've got more energy at home to be able to do, you've got more capacity to do shit. But unfortunately, the way that we're fucking designed travel is that we do more shit when we travel, but really our capacity is less.
Yeah. Or limited time and you're cramming so much in. It is a weird thing.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm thinking about the routine that I have back home.
Yeah.
And I miss my son and my wife. That's a side point, but just driving.
Good disclaimer.
They are a part of my routine though, because they're my life, my world. So it's like driving down Punt Road. Yeah. If you're listening, James, I know you're driving down Punt Road right now.
Best mate James.
Best
on
mate
Reddit.
James. So, yeah. It's, that is, it's, it feel. I remember last time coming home, it felt slow.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it should change how you view it.
Why don't you think more podcasters do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, shut up. This is our thing.
No, but I think that, like, I reckon, like, if I, especially, I mean, we're doing it, but I think if I was younger, you know, when I was 21, I went to San Francisco for Melbourne Geek, put it all on my credit card, did Macworld, doing interviews with all Apple sort of products and things like that.
Barefoot would be disgusting.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be a fan. But I think that there is such an opportunity to mix content creation or whatever you want to call it, doing a podcast, making things and bringing it in like an overseas context.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that you've been listening and felt like there's been a bit of a journey.
Yeah.
And if you are just jumping on this episode... We started in New York and we've made our way to LA. And hopefully the people we've spoken to, the vibe you get has been different, and you're hearing these perspectives of people who live on the other side of the world to where Josh and I are from.
Part of it is that thing of showing that, like, if you go back to episode 1 or episode 10 or episode 100, it's like it's just building. It's like we didn't know, there was no guarantees that we were even going to do this.
Yeah.
There was no guarantees that if you listen to episode, you know, in the 50s, we were talking about maybe we end up at a 100 and 100's it.
Yeah.
That was a conversation we had.
But then Hamish Blake said it could be 564 or something like that.
And I think that there is a, all you can look at is the every day, like doing it. If we had thought when we get to episode, you know, 195, we're going to be in this part of the world doing this, I think it would have been too much pressure.
So you think, is that too much planning, or is like the planning could be what pulls it apart, or
I think it's just like the only reason that we're able to do this is because we actually did it every single day when we weren't, it wasn't like glamorous in the sense of it, like it wasn't, you know, interviewing exciting people, and it was you in your car at 6 a.m. and me trying to get a good internet connection in a hotel room when I want to go to bed. And so I think that it's also I felt like I feel like we've earned this. It feels like we've actually put in the effort. And we haven't over... It doesn't feel like we've overbaked.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like episode one, we're live from New York City.
Yeah.
We've done, you know, over 190 episodes.
Coming out of the gates strong is what everyone feels like it should do. I've done that.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of different elements created for a trip with footage and, you know, opening sequence and...
It's so much pressure.
Yeah.
If you look at what's like Seth, what makes Seth Godin amazing? Yeah, what did you take from the Seth Godin chat?
God, he's a dude who's just chipping, who's been chipping away. I mean, he's exceptional. That's the thing. It's like, can't stop thinking that conversation we had with him is like, everything he spits is like out, you're reading from a book. And what I love about Seth is when I read his book, it makes sense. And so when he talks to us, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for myself, but I think you do for you too. But is it...
But he's a craftsperson at the end of the day. He's a maker. He, like, think about how much respect we have for Seth and think about what he does. He does a blog post every day and he shows up and it's the accumulation of all of that which makes him remarkable.
Mm.
It's the... The 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. And so I think that like if people are listening to this and thinking, you know, like I definitely look at what other people are doing and you get a bit of inspiration from it or whatever. And I think that the inspiration isn't even to say you need to go and do a trip. The inspiration is like start now, do the thing now, like... You can't do this on day one. If you do it on day one, if we had our first episode with Seth Godin or with Brad Blanks or with, you know...
I would have anyone. Said the C word.
Yeah, it would have been a completely different vibe. And so it's almost accepting the process.
See You Next Tuesday does not fly in America.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? We've mentioned it, like, that we, not on the podcast, but we've mentioned we used to say the C word.
And people were like, wow.
It was a real, an eye-opener.
And so,
sorry for our American audience that's been listening all this time.
If you were listening to the early days, we did used to, there was a couple of times we dropped the C-bomb.
Yeah.
But that's...
Very rarely and within context, I feel. I mean, when is it ever? It's a brutal word.
Yeah.
Has a lot of cut through.
It is. A lot of cut through. Cut through. It's a daily talk show, everyone. Live from Los Angeles. Can I say live? It's pre-recorded.
We're alive in Los Angeles.
It's very true.
I love it. There is a bit of a glitz. Like, maybe it's just like Hollywood. Yeah. When you're in Hollywood and you're an Australian, it feels like... Wow, look at the palm trees and the blue skies and you can see the mountains and you can see the Hollywood sign. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, and we're very glad that you're listening in and following along on the journey. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you want to send us an email, Greg and Amira tomorrow, the power couple with Maybe It's You, the podcast. You should actually listen to that podcast before you listen to our episode and you get a sense of how interesting their perspectives are when it comes to relationships.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Catch ya.